Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? The great thing about podcasts is that you don't have to be a professional to do it. Anybody can publish anything. But there are a lot of questions to ask when you first get started. I know I had a bunch. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other big places people like to listen? And how do I make money off my podcast? Because it truly is a labor of love. To answer every one of these questions, it's really simple, actually. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. Even I can use it. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors too, so you can get paid to podcast. I love Anchor because it's simple to use. I can record an episode or just a thought on my phone and upload it right then and there. They provide background music and also some sounds to really make your podcast pop. So if you've ever wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. To join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor, that's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
September is National Suicide Awareness Month, and some of our biggest helpers are hurting. Over 22 service members take their own lives a day. And according to the Department of Veteran Affairs, veterans are twice as likely as civilians to die at their own hands. Why is this? And more important, what's being done to stop it? During the month of September, the Your Oxygen Mask First podcast is honored to be showcasing some of the dedicated men and women who are fighting to keep veterans alive. We'll be telling their stories of struggle and heartbreak, but also stories of healing and resilience. We can't help anyone if we're not talking about the problem. By opening a dialogue and having authentic conversations surrounding the challenges and stigma, solutions and resources appear. As a civilian, I can never really truly know the horrors and inner demons these brave men and women face. But by listening to their powerful stories, I now have an understanding, a glimpse of their challenges, and I've already applied some of this knowledge to my professional life. The Conversations Around Veteran Suicide series aims to educate and provide resources for both military and civilian alike in hopes to end the stigma and this devastating cycle. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed recording it with my new friends. If you or someone you know may be thinking of suicide, please contact the Veterans Crisis Call Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. You can text 838255. Just remember, you are not alone.
Thank you so much for joining us again, and we are extending our deep dive series on suicide prevention for veterans. And I think we're kind of morphing our podcast and our series in a certain way because it's not just a suicide prevention anymore. It is healing from trauma, and the suicide prevention is an aspect of it. But I think that we've uncovered that there's a much bigger systemic pool of things that we can talk about in relationship to suicide prevention. I am so honored to be talking today with Jalitza Cardona. I'm going to call her Jolly because I keep screwing up her name. This is like the fourth time I've said her name. She is a veteran and a mental health advocate after surviving a sexual assault and is now making it her mission to impress upon others that they are not alone and help is waiting for them. Thank you so much for joining us, Jolly. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal history, maybe why you joined the military to begin with.
Joined the military when I was 22. I was going to college before, so I didn't immediately join after high school, but I really wanted to join. The idea was to kind of follow in my mother and my father's footsteps. My father had served in the United States Navy for 4 years, and then my mother did 20 years. So really when I was joining, I was honestly looking forward to also doing 20 years, you know, making it a career, making it kind of my life and following in, you know, my parents' footsteps. So I didn't actually expect that at that time that today I'm actually working for the VA as a peer support specialist. I really just wanted to help people. That was always my goal in life. Even when I was a child, I wanted to be like a superhero. I'm just doing that in a different way today. That's how I look at it. Right now, I'm as a peer support specialist, I help veterans in the mental health field with their symptoms of either PTSD, depression, anxiety. So I work with them on goals. I work with them on just, you know, if they need someone to talk to. My job is very open, and it's nice because it's kind of like a person that they can trust. Because when they talk to me, it's like I've seen it, I've been there with them, I've experienced it. So that, and I'm also, other than just working, I'm also going to school in January to get my master's in integrative healthcare. So a lot going on.
Busy, busy girl. And I love the master's in integrative healthcare. I think that's really important, and we need more of those types of people around.
I was introduced to that while I was going for my bachelor's. I have a psychology, my bachelor's in psychology, and I really enjoyed practicing yoga while going through everything that I've gone through. That was actually a big self-care for me when I was kind of going out of the, when I was kind of transitioning from the military life, you know, to the civilian life. So I looked into holistic health. So that's kind of why I decided to do my master's in integrative healthcare. Mm-hmm.
Did you get your undergrad in psychology after your trauma, or did that inspire your choice for your degree?
I would say both. So before the military in high school, I was always interested in what made people do the things that they do, and then also wanting to help people. So those were some of the things that before the trauma, when afterwards, I really wanted just to go back to, you know, what I originally wanted and what I really wanted to do was help people. And to do that was I saw it as through psychology and learning about how the mind works, and going to school and learning about, you know, the black and white thinking, the all or nothing thinking. I was like, oh my gosh, I actually know what that is because I've experienced it myself. And I have also met some incredible therapists, some incredible case managers, gone through group therapy, and just saw how amazing the people that I've met, how beautiful their soul was. So it was really inspiring to me. And that's also part of why I also wanted to do the same kind of work.
That's awesome. My guests have learned that we kind of just kind of jump right into the hard stuff. So I'm going to ask if you could tell us about what happened and the trauma that you faced.
So what kind of happened was I was just previously left boot camp, went to A school. After boot camp, I went to A school and I was meeting people there, trusting people right away. And there was a certain person, another sailor that I trusted, who kind of invited me out. And just the experience afterwards, and, you know, I'm not going to go into detail of kind of the event, but I remember waking up scared. I remember waking up hurt and in pain and really scared. So I went to a friend of mine at that time, and she kind of just was like, okay, you need to report this. And I, you know, I was really scared about what that meant and what I looked like. If, like, you know, I really wasn't wanting to. I, you know, and thank God I had my friend there because she actually went with me to report it. I think if she didn't, I probably would not have said anything at all. So that was very, very hard for me. And then what had happened afterwards was very hard because once I reported it, it was, you know, it was reported. So there had to be an investigation. I was asked millions of questions over and over again. And then I had to go to trial. So it was kind of like getting re-traumatized over and over again because I had to talk about it so much. And then just to find out months later that the trial got dismissed due to lack of evidence was, you know, even harder. I was very angry. That's actually, I think, where I just kind of spiraled from there.
And when did you realize it was time to get help for what happened?
It wasn't actually until maybe two years afterwards. It was, at first, it was like kind of told that I should go get help. I was told by my command, you know, you should go to marriage family counseling. And I did. I kind of just went through the motions, but then I got made fun of. You know, I was having to leave work to go get therapy. And that didn't look good on my ship, because technically I was kind of leaving the job to go talk to somebody. So I was really against therapy while I was in the military, you know, because I didn't feel like I had the okay from the people I worked with. So I kind of just shoved my feelings aside and just kind of ignored it. I was like, well, just, you know, F this, and just kept working. I only really recognized that I needed the help when my suicide attempt, when my ex decided that he no longer wanted to be with me, I lost it. I took a half a bottle, maybe more, of medication and got too impatient. And that's when I kind of realized, okay, I need some serious help if I'm willing to take my own life. So that was also hard for me, because I had to really look at myself and see how far I've kind of just hit rock bottom.
Well, it's hard to respond to that, just because I empathize with you and I understand where you're coming from. And there's a common thread with you and all of the veterans that I've talked to, has been while they have been in the military, how they didn't want to go for help because of the stigma and being made fun of, and turning from the person that was, you know, making fun of people to when they actually needed it, then, you know, being kind of the victim of that kind of judgment. So it's very frustrating to hear that that also happened to you as well.
Yeah, I was called crazy, and that really upset me. You know, I was told to go get, you know, go take your medication, you know, and called names. And it was kind of, for me, it was very hard, because I come from a very strong background, strong family, and, you know, being part of the military and that culture, to show like sadness, to show weakness, to show that I needed help, wasn't something I was willing to admit. It was not who I was at that point in time. I didn't cry, you know, I didn't want to cry, because I didn't want to be that person that cried over what happened to them. And I blamed myself too. At points in times, I just said, well, this was obviously my fault. I should not have been where I should have been. You know, I shouldn't trust people. So yeah, but it's really hard to see what's going on today, because I empathize with that. I have compassion for that, because it's absolutely difficult just to say it out loud of what had happened.
Mm-hmm. And everything happening with the government and some of the highest positions of power. This is a conversation that is very much in the public view right now, and it's bringing up a lot of feelings and memories. And, you know, people who have been victimized are, like you said, feel like they're being victimized all over again, going through somebody else's trauma and listening to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad, because, you know, it's the women that get the blame. Well, she shouldn't have been drinking so much, or she should not have worn that outfit, or she was just asking for it. You know, those things really make me angry, hearing about, you know, what's going on, because at the end of the day, it shouldn't happen at all. And it's not our fault. It's not the women's fault. So that's just something that I've been feeling recently, and, you know, feeling very sad for.
And it's one of the most basic things that we are taught as children, you know, keep your hands to yourself. Why as adults and teenagers, we're not understanding this.
Right. Or when no means no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of therapies did you use? Did you try? What worked? What didn't work once you finally were able to get help?
When I finally was able to kind of get help and just kind of take on the whole mental health, it was like everything. I just tried everything. I tried group therapy, individual therapy, psychiatrist. And it was really the CBT, the women's group, that I've tried that I really enjoyed, because while I was sitting there in the beginning, not wanting to talk or share, I was listening to other women's stories. I was listening to other women become more healthier And it really inspired me because I was looking at others and saying, well, I'm not the only one that's going through this. I'm not the only one that's feeling this way. I also have done prolonged exposure, PE, in therapy, which was kind of just, it was hard. I'm going to say it was so hard because what prolonged exposure is that you're telling your story over and over and over again to a therapist. And it's kind of like I was reliving the experience. And the point of the prolonged exposure is that you tell your story so many times that at the end of, you know, at the end of the prolonged sessions, it's just a story. So it was hard because I would, you know, in the beginning, I would go through my anxiety attack. I would have panic attacks. I would shake. I would scream. I had nightmares. It was really difficult and I hated it.
Did that work?
Well, today I can say that it worked because now when I, you know, people ask me, I don't go through the emotions not the emotions, but the sensations of a panic attack or anxiety attack. Cause I used to have really bad panic attacks or anxiety attacks out of nowhere too. It helps because now when someone asks me, it's a story. It's what happened. It's an experience and I've, you know, grown from that experience. And I think just it helped. It did help.
What was one of the best modalities of therapy that you found?
I think it was the physical therapy. So also while doing one-on-one sessions and group sessions, at the same time I was doing surfing, yoga with other veterans, with other wounded veterans, not necessarily sexual assault, but those veterans that had been through combat and, you know, who've lost or had a traumatic brain injury. We would go and just surf. I had mentors who taught me how to surf through the military. And then also yoga was something that I used for therapy too. I would go to a yoga class and the teacher there was also prior military. In the beginning, I used to just bawl my eyes out in yoga class. So I think that was one of the things I really enjoyed was not only just the talk therapy, but also being physical and just moving my body and opening myself up to the trauma and letting that kind of go through with the movement of surfing, with the movement of yoga, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What is one thing you wish everyone knew about mental health or suicide?
I wish that everyone would know, and it's going to maybe sound cheesy, but I wish that, you know, everyone would know that they're not alone. It was really hard for me to trust people and see people as genuine and good. When I had my suicide attempt and I was in the hospital, I met a woman, which I wish, you know, I remember her name, but I can't, sadly. She just showed me compassion and empathy and really looked at me and, you know, was hoping for the best for me. And at the time, I was really surprised that someone that didn't know me, didn't want anything from me, just wanted to help. And I think that's the hardest part. And I wish more people knew about that. Because in the trauma and in the moment of, you know, mental health and suicide, it feels like you're by yourself. It feels like you're the only one going through the pain. But there are people out there that understand and can have some compassion, some empathy for what you've gone through. And I just wish that more people knew that and to get help. It's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy going through therapy and going through what I've gone through, but it's at the end, it is worth it. I would tell them that it is definitely worth it in the end. So it's just holding on to the end, I guess, and that knowing that they're not alone.
And we're so glad that you made it through and you're still with us to pass along that message too.
Yeah, thank you.
What does self-care look like for you? Because I feel like that is a big component in your daily life now.
Yeah, absolutely. I can burn myself out knowing, you know, that through the week, it's a daily practice of self-care. And it's very simple. It doesn't have to be expensive and it can be very simple. Like eating a good meal. I love to cook breakfast. I just actually had a really good omelet that I just made. You know, reading a book, practicing yoga, doing some meditation, some deep breathing. I'm having actually a spa day later on today where I'm just going to stay home, do my nails, and take like a nice Epsom salt bubble bath.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be expensive, and it can be done daily, I think. Drinking water is a big thing for me too. If I don't drink enough water throughout the day, I have pain in my head. So self-care, I would tell anyone to practice self-care before anything else.
And you mentioned that you are developing your leadership skills and doing more public speaking and getting yourself out there. How has developing those leadership skills helped in your healing, if it has at all?
It absolutely has. It's kept me accountable. It really has. When I go to work, I talk to veterans, and sometimes they ask me, Jolly, what do you do when you're having a panic attack? You know, what do you do when you're having a bad day or when you're depressed? And I can't lie. I have a very hard time lying to people and just BSing. So it has kept me accountable when I talk to my veterans at work, because if I'm telling them that, you know, this has helped me, you know, yoga has helped me, making sure that I stay active has helped me, talking to a friend when I'm feeling sad has helped me. It really has kept me accountable, because if I'm going to be telling that to my veterans, you know, or even telling that to my roommates, I have to make sure that I'm practicing kind of what I preach. So that has really helped with my leadership skills. Also, what I've been doing recently is sharing my story, not just at work, but I'm looking for opportunities out in the community to kind of share my story to others so that it could be more known and more public of what's going on. And also of ways that people can get help. So I think that's one of the biggest things, especially at the VA and on the military level, is that not a lot of veterans know the resources that are out there for them. There are so many resources that sometimes I get surprised of how much there is out there. So how I'm developing as a leader today is that now I'm speaking more about what happened to me, rather than keeping it to myself. It's like a gift kind of that I'm now deciding to share, so that I'm hoping that other people can take my story and take what I've gone through and be able to get help themselves.
And I love how you've changed your perspective on the trauma that is something bad that has happened to you and it's ruined your life. And now it is something that has happened to you, but you're using it in a positive way to help other people in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people I don't wish it upon anyone. I don't, you know, wish it even upon my worst enemy. But what had happened was something that made me who I am today. I can't imagine what, you know, if I wasn't here doing what I'm doing and being the person that I am, because it's helped me develop today as someone that really looks at my self-care, make sure that I'm taken care of, that I'm seeking help when I need it, that I'm staying active, and that I'm being compassionate, empathize with others. I'm taking what happened to me and I'm turning it around. And now I exactly what you said, I'm now sharing it to help others.
Now, what organizations are you involved with? And can you talk a little bit about those?
So since I've moved, I have been able to not as much work with some of these organizations, but I have in the past, and I still look forward to some of these important things that I think a lot of people should know about. So there was the Warriors Live On organization that I volunteered to teach yoga, and because I do have my certification in yoga, I was practicing it so much, I was like, why not become a teacher of yoga? So it's called Warriors Live On. Warriors Live On, and it's in La Jolla, and it's led by a wonderful woman named Eva, and it talks about not just yoga and the holistic health and doing free acupuncture there on Fridays. I strongly recommend it if you're in La Jolla or near it to go and see about the acupuncture that they do for veterans there. But she also does this class in the evening on Fridays that doesn't necessarily look at the trauma, but looks at other ways of healing. The name is slipping me right now of what technique she uses, but it's really just kind of being mindful in the moment. So looking at things in the room and just doing that kind of practice to get through the trauma. So looking at the green or the blue that I think she likes to call it, like the things that make us happy rather than in the red. Because sometimes we can be in the red through our remembering our trauma or, going through a panic attack that can get us in the red. But then going from the red and trying to get back into the blue, into the blue calmer state, I guess, if that makes sense. And then the wound.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a website. So if you just type in Warriors Live On, it's a website that you can definitely look into. And then the Wounded Warrior Project. Every year they have an Operation Amped opportunity. We actually just passed one of them. It's by Joseph, and last name I can barely pronounce is like Gabanilas. That's actually where I kind of been able to volunteer some of my time to help raise money, because what they do is they actually take the veterans out to the beach for a weekend in the summertime and surf. It's a group of volunteers that it's like a weekend away on a beach where you are able to stay in a cabin as a veteran and just enjoy your time on the beach, be fed, and then also learn how to surf and just get out in the water, which I think is really important. And that's a great organization, and I've actually volunteered for them a couple of times. Unfortunately, I was unable to make the last meeting, but it's just a weekend during the summertime, and that's a really good organization also. And I think you could just look that up online as well.
Okay. Do you have any closing thoughts or anything else you want to talk about or any other message that you want to get put out there?
I really want to just put out there, I think as a closing thought, just that getting help is absolutely scary. Asking for help is something that I even sometimes struggle with still to this day. And, even when I've because last year in December 2017, after my therapy, after even doing prolonged exposure, I had a situation where I just became really depressed and just had suicidal ideations, like thoughts of suicide. And, after going through so much therapy, I knew that I had to go ask help. I went to my friends and I spent a day just with some friends, just crying and just feeling sad. And then I went to the VA and connected with the CHOICE program, which is a really good program through the VA. So even though it's really difficult, I want to just close the thoughts of making that brave step to ask for help. And there will be someone that will be there for you, I hope. And the VA is a really good place to do that. Mental health is, I work at a very great, and I'm very thankful to work in mental health at the VA in Oceanside, because the people that I work with are amazing people that really care for veterans and anyone that goes through the mental health doors, from the people that greet you and make your appointments all the way to the therapists, and even the janitor. He's a really great, he's a really great guy. I talked to him and he's such a good guy. So there are some good people out there. And I think I just want to close with that asking for help is the bravest thing that you can do. It's the most courageous thing that you can do. And it will get you to the better, hopefully. So, that's what I just kind of wanted to close with.
That's excellent, Jolly. Thank you so much for joining us. And I am very excited to see where your future is going to take you. I see great big things for you. And if you ever need help sharing your message or getting your message out there, you know where to look.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm very appreciative of you and the people that I've met to get to you, because I'm so happy for this opportunity and hope to help other people.
Thank you so much for listening. Please go to the episode page at youroxygenmaskfirst.com. to learn more about these amazing organizations that are doing so much good for veterans and their families.